two, and one, and action.
So we need to think of what kind of picture we're going to use today. I'm going to snap a photo of something.
Okay, let's get that
one. You got my homework?
Don't always.
Yes, and it looks good for you.
Yeah. Don't say anything. You can't do anything about it. I don't get to go anywhere with you.
Yeah, but...
Don't say it. We have to go along to get along. That's all we can do.
It's not the right thing to do.
Cut. That was nicely done.
All right. My name is Sean Sharp, and I'm an instructional technology resource teacher in Floyd County Public Schools. And today on the GenTech podcast, we are sitting down to talk with another teacher in Floyd County Public Schools, Mr. Jack Rawls. Jack is a seventh grade teacher at Check Elementary School. And every year, Jack creates a movie with his seventh grade students. And it is something that the students look forward to, and it is shown at the end of the year at a big PTA meeting. All the families are invited, and it's quite an event for this school community. So, welcome, Jack.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to be here and talking about something that I love so much. So, you know, anything that you would like for me to reveal, I will. There's no secrets.
Okay. Well, I guess the first question is, what when you start the school year, how does the movie get its momentum? How does it get started?
Well, now, since this is my eighth film, the momentum comes with the school year. That's the first question the students ask me every year is, are you going to make a movie this year? And every year when I finish making it, I say that's the last one. And then every year when I start a new school year, I say, well, maybe one more. And so the kids, they bring the momentum with them, really, when they first start the school year, asking me about it. So, you know, really early on in the first, say, month of school, we might start throwing around some ideas or brainstorming some things that might be developed into the story later on.
Okay. And what about their involvement in the technological side of the movie making? Are they super involved, little involved, et cetera? What can you say about that?
I also teach the kids how to do minor editing. We make things in class where we might make a commercial or we might make a short presentation that they use Microsoft Movie Maker or the digital cameras we have here at school to compose a small video. As far as actually our seventh grade film, I'm usually the only one that does the editing on that because I use my system at home.
Oh, okay.
I do involve the kids in, like, they do make previews sometimes for the film. Mm-hmm. I'll give them some of the film that we've shot, and they can work something with that. But as far as the actual presentation that goes on at PTA, I usually do that on my home system.
Okay. And can you describe some of the technology you use to make the film or even that the kids might use in terms of doing those small projects?
Sure. Well, Microsoft Movie Maker is what we use here at school, and it's very easy. It's user-friendly. The kids usually in a one-half hour to a 55-minute session can learn how to put clips together, add music, put transitions, and we've created some really interesting commercials in English class, especially when we have to do persuasive speeches or try to persuade people. Commercials are the best type of persuasion there is.
Sure,
and so they shoot the film, they write the script, they shoot the film, and then they put it together with Microsoft Movie Maker.
Okay.
Myself, I use Pinnacle Movie Maker at home. I paid for it myself a few years ago. It has a lot of features that professional movie makers use as far as transitions, and you can always buy add-ons for it. I always give for the film. It's something I really enjoy doing as well as the kids do. And so I try to keep up with the technology and keep the program as fresh as possible. And so that's what I use at home as the Pinnacle Movie Maker. But it's very similar to Windows Movie Maker, but just with a few more bells and whistles.
Okay. And what about the actual camera? What camera is used?
Right now I'm using a camera that I bought 8 years ago expressly to make these movies.
Okay.
It's a Sony Handycam. Video High 8, TRV87. I know a lot of people are saying, that's an old camera. Well, it is, but it does a really good job. It also has stereo inputs, which is important for me for the sound in the film.
Okay.
Now, we have a lot of cameras here at school. That's the only one that has a stereo input as well as a stereo output. So when I capture the film on the Pinnacle card, the sound is much better because I'm getting multi-directional sound rather than just a mono.
Right.
Soundtrack.
Right, okay. Excellent. Okay. And in terms of actual shooting of the film, when does that take place, typically?
Okay. Usually we try to develop an idea, and we start brainstorming. You know, what are we going to do? We usually take the SOLs, and I say, okay, let's find something here we can build a story around.
Oh, okay.
And we look at either science. We've done science and social studies, mm-hmm. and we've done some just drama, which we could call English. There are actually middle school SOLs in theatrics, whether anybody's ever looked at those or not.
Interesting.
I have.
Okay.
And so we try to develop a storyline around an SOL or an idea from an SOL, and many of my films have been around science.
Okay.
They're the easiest to incorporate into an interesting story, I think. So we start developing, we throw around ideas, we brainstorm, we come up with situations that our characters might have to deal with, and then we try to develop a story from that. Once we have a pretty working storyline, we start developing characters and, mm-hmm. and come up with, you know, what kinds of people we would want to have in our story.
Mm-hmm.
That all starts early on, you know, sometimes maybe even October, November. Usually by December or late November, early December, we're doing video trials.
Oh, okay.
You got kids sometimes can stand up in front of you in class and tell you something and speak very loudly and plainly, but when you stick a camera in their face, they clam up.
I see.
So where I used to do tryouts where we just did a script and people just tried the lines, now I have to actually do it as a video tryout to see if they're going to be intimidated by the camera.
Okay.
Or if they're going to be obsessed with looking at the camera, which also will take the audience away from the film.
Okay. Interesting.
But anyway, it starts in November.
Okay. So what times during the day? Or I assume it varies, but what sort of, do you just sort of steal a moment here and there, or do you take up a recess time, or kind of how does it work, I guess, in that sense?
The children are really willing to give up their free time
mm-hmm.
to work on the film because it's such an exciting thing for them. And I give up my planning time to
okay.
do most of the filming. I try to schedule scenes to film during my planning. And if we can steal time during recess or if we can steal time during class time, there are classroom scenes every year.
Mm-hmm.
I try to incorporate. I've so far, out of 8 films, I think I've left 3 seventh graders out of the movie in all 8 films that just did not want to be on the screen.
And I see.
I don't know why that is. Some people just feel mm-hmm. intimidated, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I get every kid in, and every kid that wants a line can have a line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we have many classroom scenes that I can actually film during class.
Mm-hmm.
And so that works out well. Every single one of my films is set in a school.
Okay.
Because that's
sure.
the set that we have here.
Exactly.
And we can
right.
use what we have.
Right.
And so we use planning time, recess time, library time. Anything that we can steal, lunchtime,
okay.
band time, you know, we try to steal a minute or two here.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we only are able to film 30, 45 minutes at a time.
Okay.
And so, you know, my average film has maybe 53 scenes or so, 55 scenes, 91 pages of script. And so it takes us from usually January till the 1st of April to get it completely filmed.
Wow. That's a huge project.
Well, 15 minutes at the time, you know, 20 minutes at the time
right.
takes a long time.
Exactly.
It's well worth it, though.
Right.
And it gives the kids a chance to ease into it rather than, as a professional might have to do, cram a script. I mean, they still have to be students. They still have to do their work, and they understand
mm-hmm.
this when they try
mm-hmm.
out for
okay.
the parts. I occasionally have to pull them from a class to film a scene. They understand that they have to get that work, and they're responsible for anything that they miss. And
okay.
teachers are real good about working with me.
Okay.
On you know, and I don't do it often.
Sure.
It's very,
sure.
very seldom.
Right. Okay. Now I've noticed when I've been at this school, I've seen you film, and you have your camera mounted on a tripod. Can you describe that and how you came up with that? Because it is an innovative use of technology to actually, you know, pull this off. It's not like the movie is completely a handy cam type of film where it looks like it's that handheld camera motion. You've created a technique here that I think is rather unique.
Well, you've seen Blair Witch. You've seen the new movie out, Cloverfield, where the technique is the handheld. And it really can make you pay more attention to the motion of the camera than the story itself.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, I decided there's no way I can shoot this from a standstill tripod. There's no way, because standing still and talking is boring. And so I had an audiovisual cart that was kind of low. And I took my tripod and I put it on top and I duct taped the tripod to the audiovisual cart. And so now I had a makeshift dolly. What they use in Hollywood, they build actual rails. Mm-hmm. And the camera travels down the rails on a dolly. Well, I have audiovisual cart wheels and my tripod is duct taped to it. And I have the handle on the tripod and I can just pull the camera right along with the actors. And so we can walk and talk and we can actually do some motion while we're filming that gives it a little more realism, gives it a little more interest. People are more interested in looking at a picture that's moving rather than two people standing there talking.
Right, right, okay.
And, that started right away. I used that from the very first.
Okay.
It is low tech. I mean, the audiovisual cart is one that was here when I came to work here 9 years ago, so it's not like it's a new thing and just...
Well, it is. I mean, it does. You know, in the movies I've watched, it adds a dimension that is, as you say, you're involved in the film this way and not so much the motion of the camera or just watching two people talk. You know, it's very good, I think.
It makes it more interesting, for
sure. And what about sound? How do you handle sound issues in terms of filming in a hallway in the school with other kids moving between classes, locker doors, whatever? How do you...
Sound has actually been my largest challenge in making the films.
Okay.
Ambient sound seems to pick up better than the sound you're trying to capture.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't even notice it when you're filming. You'll film a great scene, the actors do a perfect job, and when you watch it back, you hear a door slam or you hear something happen in the background that kind of takes you out of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been the biggest challenge, and wind has been a horrible challenge. I write very few scenes outside, because where we are here in Czech, it is always windy.
Right.
And any sort of wind, even though you can buy wind screens and you can set the camera for wind, it does change the quality of the sound as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try not to have the wind, but it has been a challenge. The ambient sounds in the hallway, you just kind of have to go with the flow on that. There's really no way you can fix that. I tried using a boom mic for one film.
Uh-huh.
One problem with that is once you plug the mic in, it's not stereo anymore, it's mono, which kind of took away. I actually did a film where I had some stereo and some mono. You might not be able to tell that, but I certainly can, especially when I'm listening back to it.
So you actually just use the microphones on the camera?
Right.
And those are the stereo mics?
Right. They're directional stereo mics, which is probably why they pick up the ambient sound so well.
Mm-hmm.
But they also pick up the action sound really well, too.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not ambient sound, the sound is great.
Okay.
But when they're, and like I said, if you're filming in a hallway and they're having lunch in the gym and you have to go by there, all of that noise does come out and it does get involved. So you have to kind of plan. That's why I film first thing in the morning. That's when my planning time is.
Okay.
That's when the school is the least active.
Right.
It's when I can control the noise the best.
Mm-hmm.
I also, down here on the 7th grade hall, I have a lot of control over the noise. I can ask teachers, you know, don't let anybody go to the bathroom for 10 minutes while I film the scene. And, and so I have a little more control here. But truthfully, the whole school has been really nice. If I was to have an announcement in the morning that I need to film a scene, everybody stay in your room for 10 minutes, they would do it. I mean, the school is really behind this project.
That's great.
They look forward to it every year just as much as the kids do, I
think. That's fantastic.
But the sound has been my biggest issue.
Okay.
And I can weed some of it out with the program.
Okay.
It has some filters for, like, wind noise and things.
Okay. That was my next question, actually, was
Pinnacle
how much
has,
do you...
Okay. Well, Pinnacle has a nice feature. When you're capturing, you can control sound levels. You can turn one side of the camera, one stereo side up or down.
Okay.
As you're capturing.
As you capture, right.
You can also do that after capturing, when you're putting the sound in the film itself, you can literally control the sound level every millisecond. I mean, if you need to cut a sound out really quick, you literally can mute a millisecond, or probably not a millisecond, but you know, half a second.
Exactly.
You can mute a very small amount, and you literally can control the level at every point. If you go through, it's a drag, click and drag. The sound line is there. I click on the sound line. I drag it up for a little bit more volume. I drag it down, release, and I go and I move the rest of the sound line wherever I need it.
Okay.
It is really point and click. And
wow.
I've had to do that with some scenes where if you have one actor that's very, very quiet, one actor that's very, very loud, I have sometimes had to adjust for that.
Okay.
I also did a scene once where I had a person who basically ends up on the screen talking to themselves. and I had to cut out the person that was reading their lines to them for them to respond to, and put in the other person's part. And so, I mean, you can manipulate the sound in the program. I can literally cut a chunk of sound out and move it and put it in a different place.
Fascinating. Wow.
That's great. It's really cool.
Yeah. A little bit about the students. Have you had, in your 8 years of doing this, have you had students that have taken from this experience a desire to, you know, become a producer, a director, or even actor, actress down the road? Or do you even know? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, I've had a few that I really felt would go on and do some big things. I've had what I call natural actors and actresses that just, they seem to get the moment. They can turn it on and turn it off, and they can really play the part and get lost in the role very well. I've had some that really want to do it, don't have the natural ability. I'm not really, you know, I'm not trained in this. I did plays all in school. I did some little theater when I left school. I've taken a class in acting. I've had some training. But some of these kids really do shine through in this film. I had one student that I know of that went on to work in a local little theater at the Mill Mountain Theater to do some summer apprenticeship type things where they work behind the scenes. And I know that she is right now in a play in Floyd at the Junebug Center. And I actually corresponded with her recently, and she said she's still chasing the dream. She told me after we made our film that she had made a decision that that's what she wanted to do. Will she, you know, one day break out there and become a big star? I don't know. I hope so. I had another student that she was more interested in the behind-the-scenes type of the activity. She actually played a part in the film, but she was really conscious of camera movement, direction, and that kind of thing. She actually went over to Virginia Tech and attended a summer seminar in making documentaries. So she made a documentary over the summer. And she actually mentioned in an article that her seventh grade teacher made the commercials and things with them, and that kind of inspired her. So,
Excellent.
There's a couple that I know of. I hope everyone takes a positive, you know, experience away, but everybody's not going to become a filmmaker.
Exactly. I understand. Well, I mean, I know my experience is, from what I've heard here at schools, it's a very positive thing that happens, especially that PTA meeting where the movie is shown.
It's premiere night.
It is. It's great.
Last year we had people getting flowers, and there were tears everywhere, and everybody's so proud of their kids. And I've had so many teachers say, I can't believe what you get those seventh graders to do. And they don't realize I'm letting them do something they want to do. This is something that's exciting for them, so it's not difficult.
And I think it really is a rite of passage in this, in our county, and in this school in particular. You know, our schools are K through 7. And so this is seventh grade. This is it. This is before they move on to the high school. And that's pretty special. It really is.
I've had more than one parent tell me every year, you just have to make one more because my child will be in seventh grade next year. And every year, you know, I know sooner or later the magical journey will have to end, but I've made more movies than Spielberg has in the last 8 years.
So yeah, exactly.
It's not all fun, but, I mean, I love the final product. And there's nothing like the act of getting these kids to do something so magical. I mean, when we watch it on the screen at the PTA, it's just unreal. And you've been to a couple of
films. Oh, yeah, I've seen them. You bet.
It's just unreal what they've done.
I know.
These kids really put their heart into it and really work hard.
So the last thing, actually, or not the last thing, but another thing that comes to mind is when you show it to the PTA, what do you use there to show it? Just a straight old DVD player? Or how do you, is it a, whatever, go ahead and describe that.
Well, the Pinnacle will burn to a DVD. It's a standard DVD, just like, and you can add menu and have your menu so you can go to certain scenes in certain areas. And so I usually burn it on DVD. PTA night, I use a standard DVD player. I could also play it in the computer, although I found that it actually plays cleaner on a DVD player. When I play it on the computer, sometimes Microsoft...
Windows Media Player?
Yeah, the Windows Media Player. Sometimes it tends to hang up or skip a little bit when you play a DVD. And so I want the best quality, of course, that I can get. I just use one of the school audiovisual projectors you know, that we use with the computers and things. They have a huge screen in the gym. I pull it back until I fill the screen. And the kids are...
And do you have any particular speakers you use? Or
I actually hook into the school sound system.
Oh, okay.
I go ahead and hook into our PA system,
uh-huh.
which has four speakers. And I record it in 5.1 Dolby Digital.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have the technology to put it out, it really makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Since we got the new sound system in the new gym, the sound of the film has been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
everybody
mm-hmm.
commented on how well it sounds in there.
Yeah.
The old gym had an echo factor
okay.
that we couldn't really control for just because of the way it was built, and that's where we used to show the film.
Mm-hmm.
And but since we moved into the new room where I can hook in, and I just plug right into the amplifiers of the sound system, and it has bass treble control and everything, and so
right.
I can really, I take the afternoon that we're going to show it, and I set the sound up, and I set everything, and I watch, you know, 10, 15 minutes of it just to make sure the levels are good.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to accommodate for people being in there because that
mm-hmm.
takes some of your sound.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But I think it's worked really well the last few years since we've gotten a new gym
mm-hmm.
membership.
Great. Now, I assume the students all get a copy of the film?
The students get a copy. Basically, we make no money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a project. When I first came here, I was told we have to do a PTA project.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year, we wrote a play.
Okay.
Seventh grade wrote a play. Every single seventh grader was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super stressful watching that night of the presentation. Is it going to happen? Is everybody going to remember their lines? Is everybody going to show up for the part? And I said to myself after that, you know, you should really put this on film.
Okay.
And that's where the whole idea started.
Uh-huh.
And so the second year I was here, we did the movie, the first one, and it was about an hour long, and had this intricate plot of aliens coming to steal mitochondria from the kids and using the science SOL.
Right.
Anyway, the kids loved it, and for some people, it's still their favorite movie that
wow.
I made.
Great.
And we've graduated from there. We've made the stories a little more complicated. We've tried to incorporate more twists, and
mm-hmm.
we try to come up with more ways to creatively use the SOLs. I've used some green screen in some of the films.
Okay.
I've taken video in front of a green screen here at school and then superimposed a background, like I used a local recreational lake
mm-hmm.
as a background in one of the films. And I even had the principal come over and he said, "Why did you take those kids to the lake?" And I said, "It's green screen, Mr. Yeah. Rickover."
So do the kids understand green screen?
They do.
Okay.
Now, I mean, we usually play around with it a little bit during the year. I've
mm-hmm.
made kids fly down the hallway and things like that
mm-hmm.
with the
mm-hmm.
green screen. Just, you know, trying to get them interested, trying to show them what you can do
right.
with a little bit of technology.
Right, right.
And I think they understand, a lot of them understand that. A lot of them, you know, don't really understand the concept of replacing the background. And,
mm-hmm.
and I have had some kids look at it and go, "But how did you do that?" And, you know, so, but some
right.
kids get it right off.
Sure.
Some kids, when you show them the technology, they just run with it.
Okay.
And it's really, really a neat thing to see.
Yeah. So if you had a wish list, like this is year 8 or 9 for your film?
Year 8.
And if you had a wish list, let's say you had just an unlimited budget, what would you choose as far as, or change and add technology-wise or anything, just sort of brainstorm, just sort of the, you know, the sky's the limit here. What would you like to see? What do you think you could do? Or in other words, I'm sort of asking in the sense of, as you've made these films, you know, what sort of things have you bumped into where you said, "Wow, I wish I could," or "If I only had, you know, $5,000, I could X or I could Y," or do you see what I mean? What kinds of things, if you were to change and make better?
It would be nice to have a second camera.
Okay.
A lot of times, angles, when I'm shooting a scene, kids don't have a natural sense of blocking themselves, and they will step right in front of another character
okay.
when they're talking. And so sometimes if I had a second camera going at a different angle,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't lose really good shots.
Mm-hmm.
So a second camera, I think, would be nice. I would love to have a camera that had lapel mics or some kind of a microphone that I could perhaps hook to the kids so that I could do away with the ambient noise so much
right.
and have a better quality of the sound. I think the sound is where I would spend money.
Mm-hmm.
The video is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
even with this 8-year-old camera,
mm-hmm.
the video still looks pretty crisp.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sound that suffers, and it's mostly because you can't stop people from closing a door. You can't stop people from using the elevator or the water fountain turning
right.
on
exactly.
at the moment your character's in their
mm-hmm.
biggest emotional scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep,
so
exactly.
I would spend money on sound, I think. And I would love to have editing equipment here at the school that I could get the kids involved more in. The Pinnacle card that I use at home and the equipment I use at home isn't really available for us here. We might be able to make it available, but I can't remember what I paid for the program, but I think it was around $300 a few years ago.
Sure.
And I would like to get the kids more involved, but again, as a filmmaker myself, I'm really bringing my vision to it. So I don't know if I could make a film where I let someone else edit my film, but I would love to get them more involved in making their films. That's where I would like to see this end up.
Sure.
It's where I stop making films and the kids start making their own films to show
right.
on PGA.
Because I can see more of, I mean, I see filming or video, it's an expression, and it's a way to express knowledge. It's like a podcast. It's a way to demonstrate understanding for students, you know.
Well, you know, any other artist displays their vision through paint,
right.
through drawing,
right.
or through film.
Exactly.
And so a lot of these kids have visions that they're not able to display that film might bring to the forefront and give them an outlet for their expression, for what they want to say. Even in the small little commercials that we've done, I've seen some things that I go, wow, that could be a professional commercial. That could really be exactly what a company would buy for their product.
Right.
And so, you know, even at seventh grade level, these kids are already visualizing. Of course, they live in a commercial world.
Right, sure.
But they're already visualizing how to put things together to tell a story. And I held them to a minute or less. And so they put it together in a minute to tell their story, sell their product, and they... You know, some of them did amazing jobs.
Have you considered putting these online at all to publish, or is that? I mean, I know there's some issues in terms of permissions from families, et cetera. But
and that's been an issue.
Okay.
I actually asked for because I wanted to enter a competition once, and I asked for a seventh grade class family's permission for me to own the film. Which
okay.
I think technically I do anyway.
Right.
But I really wanted permission to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some parents that actually did want me to be able to enter the film with their child in it into a contest where I might receive something.
Right.
It actually was a contest to receive grant money, but, you know, and I didn't fight and I didn't argue
sure.
about that.
Sure.
So it would be an issue for me to be sure that I had permission to do that. And as crazy as things are on the internet now, I would have to be really careful about identifying the kids and that kind of thing. I've never considered YouTube or anything like that
right,
because
of course.
You know I like to protect the kids as much as I can.
Yeah.
They do all get a copy, and you asked that earlier.
Right.
And it's kind of like a video annual.
Yes.
I
yes.
remember all these
that's great.
Kids because of what movie they were in.
Right.
And I remember them at that point in time.
Yes.
And so
yes,
when you
exactly.
ask me about a child, I will think about what movie they were in. I can tell you what year they are in school now, and I can tell you when they're going to graduate because I have them cataloged according to the movies.
Right. Fascinating. That's fantastic, too.
It's interesting.
Yeah. No, it's very good. Well, is there anything else you want to add today to describe your... I mean, this is a great project, and that's why I wanted to invite you to talk about it here and share it. I think other educators might be inspired to try to do something similar, you know, just in terms of as they listen to this, to get a sense of involving students in a creative project that involves technology, and again, that is that creative thing that they're not exposed to in the classroom and in everyday, I mean... generally speaking, I'm sure there are schools that do have these kinds of things, but in general, it's not something you see every day and at every school.
That's
so,
true.
You know.
Well, I do believe, and I would have never believed, that I had as many quality actors and actresses every year in a seventh grade class. I mean, I'm limited to 60 people that I have to cast a film from.
Right.
And every year they just step up and amaze me, which shows me there's an amazing amount of talent out there that we don't know about.
Right.
And so by using this technology, you give kids a chance to do something they never might ever get a chance to do again. How many seventh grade kids do you know that have a major motion picture?
Right.
And these
exactly.
kids do. I mean, that's the way we treat it. It is big. We make movie posters. We have previews. We show it to a huge audience on a big screen.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know, we treat it that way. The only thing I might add is that, you know, if someone... would want to try this, I would suggest you start small Don't take off too much at the time, because it is time-consuming to get everything written, to get everything filmed,
okay,
to get everything edited and ready for showing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't suggest you try an hour and a half film your first time out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe go for a 45-minute or a 30-minute. You might start with documentary-type things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are
mm-hmm.
a little easier to script.
Okay.
Use your creative students the best you can. I have students every year that write scenes for our film. I'll give them an idea. I say, I need this scene, and I'll have them brainstorming. And sometimes the kids write some really good stuff that I use, you know, 75% or more of. I just have to make it fit into the script.
Mm-hmm.
And that we always brainstorm the ideas. We always brainstorm the characters together. The story itself, usually a lot of it will come from my English background, you know,
okay,
my writing background. But as far as plot lines, we always brainstorm that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest start with a brainstorming session. What could
right.
we do, you know, with this idea,
sure,
with this idea?
And get the kids involved in generating ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when we started talking about the movie I did, Evergreen, what if we could put plant DNA into a human,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't have to eat, and their cells could do photosynthesis? And we developed a whole story just
mm-hmm.
from that simple idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would happen
mm-hmm.
if they came to this school
mm-hmm.
and they were
mm-hmm.
trying to hide out? And you know, and so that's where we start off with just a simple thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe even one SOL,
mm-hmm.
and we just
right.
read through them and say, well, what about? And the kids can throw out some fantastic things,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we usually, one of them will just feel right, and
mm-hmm.
we go, yeah, you know, we can develop that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds, yeah, fascinating, fantastic.
It's been probably the most rewarding thing that I can have forever.
Right.
I mean, I will never have to let go of these kids
right.
because they're
right.
with me
sure.
On video
yep.
For the rest of my life and the rest of theirs.
Yeah,
so
that's great. That's great.
It's really been rewarding for me, and I know the kids love it because that's all I hear is, I can't wait to get to seventh grade. So I can
yeah.
film.
No, that's very true. Well, thank you very much, Jack. We appreciate your time today on the Gen Tech podcast, and I will let you know when it airs.
Well,
so
I appreciate you having me. And,
yeah.
You know, I love talking about this, so anytime.
Okay, thanks again.